Please take your Bible this morning and turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, we'll read verses 21 down through 47. I might just say it was good to be back at West Haven this week. Even though we were limited in number of people, we did find that three of the people that were regularly at the services at West Haven have gone on. And we certainly miss Beulah. Ruth Keller was 106 years old. And we also miss a dear lady that used to sit next to Lois when she would come to West Haven. Lucille is now passed on as well. And so I trust that you'll remember those folk. There was a man, I always get encouraged when there's at least one man that comes out to the chapel service, and there was one and on last Wednesday. And so we need to continue to pray that the gospel will reach hearts there and that it will encourage hearts of those that know the Lord as their Savior. Certainly some of those that come to those services certainly love the Lord. Their mouths are moving even though their voices don't work. And they express it in their faces that they know the Lord and love His Word. And what a privilege it is to be able to serve there again. John chapter 8, verse 21. The Bible says there, "Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake of them, of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, as a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus saith unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe not me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Father, we are mindful that you sent your Son, and that only through him can we have the truth. Only through him can we have the freedom. And only through him can we have a future that is in heaven. And Lord, we know that it is possible to be religious but lost, and to miss being with the Lord Jesus in heaven. Oh Lord, I ask that if there be one that has never put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ, that today would be the day that they would come to know you. And Father, I pray for those that do know you, Father, that they might be, as it were, disciples indeed. Father, those that would do the will of the Father, even as Jesus did to please his Father. Father, we would pray this week that you might bless in the Wednesday missions presentation. Father, help us to understand the needs in Cambodia. Thank you for what you are accomplishing there through missionaries. And Lord, we pray for the strengthening of national believers. We know that many times communism leaves a lasting print upon people's minds and is a barrier. And so, Lord, we just ask that you might continue to bless that work there in Cambodia. Father, we would pray for our work here. And we would pray, Father, that you would send a new pastor to this church that would love these people, that would be loyal to your word, and would be steadfast and a great servant of the Lord. Father, thank you for the one that you have chosen, for the one that you will send. And so, Lord, we ask for your will to be done in this matter. Father, we ask now that you might undergird us as we speak your word and as we remember our nation's birthday. Father, we know that we can only find true freedom, and that is through you. In Jesus' name, amen. Shelton Smith was the pastor of a church in Maryland when Carla and I were serving as missionaries in the Netherlands. And he had a dear brother in his church that we knew from Minnesota. And the church actually took us on for support. Shelton Smith has become the editor of the Sword of the Lord. He wrote on June 11th in the Sword of the Lord, in the not distant past, truth was primary commodity upon which churches were founded. Truth about things temporal and eternal was considered to be so vital that it was given priority status. Families taught their children to be truthful. Businesses advertised themselves as honest and trustworthy. When you went to church, you knew that a man of God would open the Word of God and proclaim the truth on every page. Times have changed. Truth is no longer absolute among many people. Men who do as they please will not only displease God, but they will also displease their peers. Evil proliferates where truth is not present. In the place of truth, we have the following. indoctrination of evolution, the scams of socialism, the hoax of humanism, the pursuit of pleasure, the reasoning of revisionism, the lunacy of lies, the forfeiture of Christian faith for unbelief. These seven devastating realities are a foundation of sand, and until there is recognition of the fact that they are sand and that it is not solid, the desired results will not come through lies, only through truth. Take heart, the man who builds his life on the rock will survive the storms of life. Certainly our nation needs to get back to be building on the rock, Christ Jesus. Amen? And we certainly need to see, as we look at the scriptures today, that the freedom of truth. And I believe that we're only going to find truth in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the truth. He also said that the word of God is truth. And that is absolute truth. And he said here in this passage that the truth shall make you free. And so I want us to talk about what Jesus had to say here in John chapter 8 in relationship to the freedom that we have as a nation. Truth is defined in the Gospel of John twice. The first definition given by the Lord Jesus Christ is in John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In John chapter 17, in verse 17, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And then we find as well in that in his prayer, Jesus says the word is truth. Thus, the living word and the written word are equally truth. They do not contradict one another. Truth may be described as the absence of error or lie. There's a great contrast to the truth of Jesus Christ and the lies of Satan and men. Jesus declared in John 8:44 that the devil has no truth in him and is a liar. Certainly the devil is a deceiver because he tells lies, even as he did to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Those that put their trust in the lies of Satan have a tragic ending in hell, but those that put their trust in the truth of Jesus Christ have the assurance of heaven. Jesus made that so clear to the Pharisees. In John 8:13, Jesus was charged by the Pharisees as having a record that was not true. The truth was that they were living a lie because their religious outward was not the truth of what was within their hearts. They were living a lie that is called hypocrisy. Certainly, Jesus challenged their false charge with the truth in John 8:17 and 18. He said, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me also beareth witness of me. Jesus refuted them according to their own law. Certainly, the truth was that which that they had come to realize was not what they knew as absolute truth. Certainly, he challenged their lie and he offered freedom if they would but accept the truth in John 8:32 and 36. It is wonderful to know that the same freedoms that Jesus spoke of in John 8 offered today to you and me are available. What freedoms did Jesus offer to those that trust his truth? He offered freedom to believe. Thank God there's freedom to believe. Do you know that in many countries around this world, there is not freedom to believe in Jesus Christ? And if you do, it may mean your life or torture or long-term imprisonment. I read in Christian Law Association this week that there were 5 different countries where that is true. Thank God we live in a country where there's freedom to believe the truth concerning Jesus Christ, the freedom to live the truth. Folks, it's one thing to have freedom to believe, but it's another thing to have freedom to live it. And then the freedom from bondage to lies of the biggest liar of all, the devil. And so we want to look at those three aspects of freedom this morning. And in relationship to our country, I believe that these things are so vital if our nation is to continue on the path of true freedom. First of all, the freedom to believe in truth is in John 8, chapter 21 through verse 30. Jesus, first of all, he warns about the truth and sin in verses 21 to 24. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall die in your sins. Whether I go, ye cannot. Those that live in sin will not have freedom. And those that live in sin and die in sin will not go to heaven. I mean, it's pretty clear. The truth is, sin has a penalty, and it's called death. I don't know how many of you have ever seen a person die. I have yet to see a death that does not bring us to tears and does not bring us to the reality that there is a penalty to sin. Certainly, the truth is, the rejection of Jesus as Savior means permanent separation from God. And so Jesus said that to these Pharisees in verse 24, as well as he did back here in verse 21. The truth is, the judgment of sin is coming for those who do not trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior. In verses 25 and 26, he brings that out, but he also says in John chapter 7 and verse 24, he says, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. In other words, if they were going to rightly judge sin, they would see sin in their life, not just look on what was showing on the outside. These were hypocrites. They wanted to look good to people, but they were looking bad to God. Certainly, Jesus warned them about sin having a penalty. That's truth. Then he said there is a source of truth in verses 27 and 28. He said they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. And in verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. He says, when you see me on the cross, you will know that I am the Messiah. How would they know that? Have you ever read Psalm 22? Have you ever read Isaiah chapter 53? These were predictions 1,000 years in Psalms and 700 years in Isaiah before Jesus ever died, and it says specifically what happened at the cross. He said, if you know the truth, the Word of God is the truth, you will know the source of this truth that I am speaking. It comes from God. And he says, I will prove it when I make a sacrifice of myself for your sins. He was going to die for even the sins of those who would reject him. He died for the sins of the whole world. But they would miss heaven, even though Jesus loved them enough to die for them. How is it today with you folks? Can you say, well, I know Jesus died on the cross, but have you realized that he died for your sins? Have you received him? Have you come by the way of the cross and his great sacrifice? and accepted what he has done for you, that you might have eternal life. Certainly it is not possible to know God the Father apart from God the Son, nor God the Son apart from the Father, nor to experience the joy of the Holy Spirit apart from the knowledge of God the Son and God the Father. The truth is, Jesus is God's Son, and he mightily displayed it at the cross. As we just read in verse 28, he prayed to the Father, and the Father, for grace, allowed sinners to be received because of his Son who gave his all. Were there any at the cross who came to Jesus? Yes, there was. There was a dying thief who said there on the cross that he wanted to be remembered because he trusted that this was the very Messiah. He says, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." I tell you what, the Pharisees didn't even have that kind of faith. There was no kingdom look for many of the Jews. When Jesus hung on the cross, they were looking for that kind of a Messiah that was going to have a kingdom. But the dying thief, he looks at Jesus and he says, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Wow. What about the centurion who looks at Jesus and observes this crucifixion like none others that he has ever participated in? And he says, "Truly, this is the Son of God." Certainly, the Father also responded to the death of Christ. The veil was rent in the temple and opened up the way that we might have access to God. Our high priest is in heaven, interceding for us today. There was an earthquake in the resurrection of those graves in Jerusalem. God says, "If you know me, I'll bring you forth." Amen. It's because of his resurrection. And so there needs to be a reception of the truth. And I love what verses 29 and 30 have to say here. It says here, "And he spake these words, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed." Certainly, they received the Lord Jesus as who he was, many of the Jews in that day, as they listened. I tell you what, here was the Pharisees. They were the people in charge of religion. And these people were breaking, as it were, their acceptance in society. And they said, "It's more important to put your trust in Jesus Christ." That's faith. They placed their trust, their faith, in Jesus as God's Son. They placed their faith in Jesus as the sinless Lamb of God. They placed their faith in Jesus as the basis of truth of his words. And those that trust the Savior place their trust in him on the basis of the promises of the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 21 and 23. We talked about it in our Bible adoption that we want to take into our Constitution. Romans 10:17, "For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." But we need to move on. The freedom to live the truth. The freedom to live the truth. It is truly wonderful to know the Savior, but to be able to follow him in truth is just as great. Disciples love the truth of God's word. They hunger for the word of God daily. They treasure the teaching and preaching of the word of God, and they share the word of God with one another in encouragement and love. Disciples keep following the Lord in obedience daily in their lives. Certainly, we need to be disciples who follow our Lord in the ways of truth. That's true freedom. Sometimes people receive Christ, but they don't continue to walk as they should in truth. But John would say to the disciples that he had seen come to know the Lord as their Savior, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. If the truth has made us free, we ought to be disciples indeed. That's an honor, to be called disciples indeed. The servants of sin did not live the truth. The Pharisees were servants of sin in John 8, 33 and 34. Jesus says, you're not even listening to what I'm saying. Isn't it tragic that we have so many Bibles in America and people don't even read them and pick them up? And many people, when they are given a tract, it's almost like that's getting to, it was in our days in Holland, where you'd pass out a tract and people would stomp on it. Folks, that is total rejection of the Word of God. Folks, we need to be kind when we pass out tracts. One of the things I learned in Lithuania is when you pass out a tract, you put it forward and you say, please. It's hard to resist the please. I'd like to give this to you, please. Certainly, these Pharisees did not do that. But I'm thankful that there are those that have been redeemed by faith in Jesus Christ and have freedom in the truth. And Jesus talked about that in verse 35 and 36. He says that the Son abideth ever, but in verse 36 he says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. What a privilege to be among the redeemed today. So many need to be set free yet. But in Titus 3:3 it says, for we ourselves were sometimes foolish and disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. That should be our past, not our present, as disciples indeed. I've got to hurry on. Freedom of bondage from lies. The lie of Satan is certainly powerful in people's lives. The lie of another way to God is what many people have thought that they could do. They thought, well, we're Abraham's children. We belong to God because of our parents. Nobody belongs to God through their parents. God doesn't have grandchildren, he has children. Amen? And folks, the only way you become a child of God is to receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Certainly, there's the lie then that you can come unto God through somehow through your heritage. I read a story in the biography of Ed Nelson, the great old preacher out west, and came to know the Lord after being in a religion that did not teach personal salvation. But he was in Russia one day. And as he was there in Russia, there was a judge who had judged many Christians and sent them to the gulag and these places of torture. And as she listened to Ed Nelson as a street preacher, she became so convicted and she wanted to come to Jesus Christ. But she said, that'll be impossible that God would ever receive me. But she raised her hand anyway. And Ed Nelson had a translator, a young lady, And she went and she dealt with this young lady, and Ed Nelson was there as, or this judge, and went and spoke with her as well. And certainly she came and she accepted the Lord Jesus as the only way of salvation, not who or what she had done. That's the grace of God, folks. Certainly, there is the lie that you can try and make yourself good enough, but that's not the way it works. The requirement for salvation is perfection. And none of us will arrive at perfection in this life, but there is one who did. And his name is Jesus Christ. And when we come through him, he gives us his perfect righteousness. Oh, that we would understand that the lie of unbelief is a misplaced trust. We are not ever going to be as good as Jesus Christ, but he's already come and he offers to us his perfect righteousness. Certainly, it is a misplaced trust to believe in a lie than to believe in the truth that Jesus died for your sins and rose again. According to John 3:18, unbelief is that which condemns a person to a Christless eternity in hell. He that believeth on him, Jesus, is not condemned, but he that hath not believed is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Perhaps you've come looking for truth in a world that is filled with falsehood. The truth is Jesus in the Bible. And it's important for you to know this truth on a personal level. And this morning you can be set free by trusting Jesus as your Savior. Perhaps you're here and have been set free, but have not become a disciple or a follower of Jesus. And you lack a hunger for truth and an obedience to truth. Can we say, I have a hunger for truth? Can we say this morning, I have an obedience to truth so that I am a disciple indeed? If not, we need to apply the cleansing blood and we need to determine and be motivated to obey, to trust and obey. And perhaps you've been deceived by the power of Satan, even as a religious and moral person longed to be set free. You know that your heart is evil, even though you look good on the outside. But there is saving grace, and Jesus wants to extend it to you. And he can, because he came and gave his all for you. Will you not give him your heart? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the freedom to believe. We thank you as well this morning for the great truths that we have seen in your word, that there is not only a freedom to believe, but there is also this great freedom that we have in our life today to see you bring others to Jesus Christ and out of the bondage, out of the blindness of sin. And so, Lord, I ask that you might use us as witnesses, as testimonies for your namesake to the truth. And, oh God, I pray for our nation, a nation that is abandoning God, abandoning the truth in multiple ways. May we get back to the truth. Absolute truth, Jesus Christ in his word, that we might have lasting, eternal freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.